Here we go. Good evening, gentlemen. We continue in Hilchos Shechita, the Rambam, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Aleph, Chapter 11, Halacha 1. And we're going to discuss general halachas of treifas. And in the middle, we're going to specifically get to an important topic that has not been touched yet, believe it or not, that of sirchos, adhesions, which is one of the most important issues of checking the kashrus of an animal, which we'll discuss today. But let's get to some general ideas first. Halacha Aleph. Ko behemov shenolad behem safek treifas mitreifas el. Any animal or bird that comes within them one of these doubtful situations of treifas from all the cases we mentioned up to this point in time. Kigon, for example, behema shenafla v'lahocha. Let's say an animal fell and is an issue of nefula and he didn't start walking. So we now are concerned maybe his internal organs were damaged to the point that he would not be able to live longer. So we don't know. Oshinidrasa bidechaya, or wild animal stuck its paws.
Talons
into it, right? Vainadim head of the boss, so we don't know if the flesh got red, kinegabim right across the intestines, Oladim, or it didn't get red, Oshinechbasa Gulgolta, or the skull gets smashed, Vinyadim, Ruba, Imiuto, we don't know if it's a majority or minority, any of these situations where we're not sure if, you know, you have to do an internal inspection to see what's going on. So now, of course, we've got the idea of the internal inspection, but now we have a brand new rule. Imhoya Zohar, if the animal is a male, we have another rule of thumb. Vishosh Shnema Sarchodesh, and 12 months passed. We didn't shech the animal. The animal fell off the roof. And we don't know. And we just let it sit there for 12 months. Hareza Becheska Shlema. We assumed that the animal is a healthy animal. Because how else did he live 12 months if he had too much of a severe damage? Right? Because, and why we need 12 months? You need the full cycle of the hot summers and the cold winters. Because sometimes, you know, the heat can exacerbate the damage. Sometimes the cold can exacerbate the damage. You need a full year of weather conditions. And if the animal has survived that full year, then we know he is fine. Okay, that's point number one. And we assume he's okay because we don't assume that it was in a deathly state. Kisharba is like other behemoths. But for a female, we don't have to wait that long. Now, of course, 12 months will work. But we can understand for a female. How can we get an answer quicker on a female?
Birth.
Well, imhaisin akeva achetel, if she gives birth to a little cowlet, all right, or whatever. Yeah, whatever. Then we don't have to wait 12 months because there's no way a healthy cow, an unhealthy cow who's going to die is going to give birth to an animal. That's the general rule of thumb. Right. Now it's interesting, the wording of the Rambam over here is, where does it say that now? He says, im shoho. The expression of the Rambam, right, im shoho, if you let it stay for 12 months. If you let it stay for 12 months. Which would imply, b'l'chachila, you shouldn't let it wait 12 months. And there's a whole story within the Gemara with Shmuel. Shmuel had a whole basket of birds that was a suffix if they were drusas. They got thrown in the river and they wanted to wait. He didn't allow them to wait because he's afraid, you know, really waiting 12 months is not a good idea because what if somebody's going to eat it beforehand? You know, we don't know the status of this animal. You know, you could just shecht it and not realize that this was one that had to wait 12 months. And you didn't wait 12 months, now you ate it, and who knows, it may not have lived 12 months. It can create all problems. So,
if it's a suffix, we should shecht it and eat it?
No, yeah, check it out right away.
Shecht it and check it.
You know, if it's an animal you're planning on shechting it sooner or later, right? If leaving an animal like that, that's a suffix treifas around, you know, we'll forget 6 months from now that there's a shail on this animal. And we may shecht it 6 months from now, not realizing there was a shail on this animal. All right. So, this machlokas, if we say there's a lot of animals, the Rama seems to say even with one animal, you really shouldn't let it wait 12 months according to the Rama. But if you did, Okay, then the proof of the pudding is it did live, but it's not a good rule of thumb to do. That's why he says if.
So are we saying that if it's a suffix,
first of all, you'd have to check it and check it on the spot.
Would we do a more thorough check?
Well, we know what to check. This is the point. If you see a cow just fell off a roof, then we know we have the concern for that trefa of falling of nefula, and now we have to check all internal organs because there's a very great likelihood that happened. And we have to, every organ, the Rambam said, you have to look. That's an internal organ. You have to check it out. Any of these things where we know something's happened, we'll see shortly. I think we talked about the general assumption is the animal's kosher. We'll see though, we're not done yet, we're gonna get a little bit further. But generally you don't have to inspect every internal organ if you don't see anything suspicious over here. We'll get to the lungs shortly.
So we're saying it's better the chef didn't check.
Yeah, because at least what'll happen is we won't come to any unintended damage. Because we chefed it, we're gonna right away. We check it, is it okay or not? If it's not okay, we give it to the goyim. Not the goyim. Eat it, what they do. But if it's good, you got to chef it. To leave it around is a very dangerous pastime. Now, that's with an animal. What about a bird? Uba'ov, with a bird, it works a little bit different. Bezocher shemas erchot, it's the same thing with a bird. If you wait 12 months for a male and it lives, then you know after the fact it's okay. But if you have a female, it works a little bit different. With the female, it has to be achetelet kolabeim shel te'ina rishona. She has to first lay all the eggs of its first spawning. In other words, the next laying has to occur. It could be a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4, I don't know. But that's not good enough. V'titon te'ina shniyamzel. And then she has to do a second laying of eggs. In other words, we have to have the new, what's the word?
Cycle?
Gestation period, whatever it is for laying eggs called. Starting, because could be maybe she was already, you know, halfway towards laying the eggs, and then she had this accident. Well, she can still lay the eggs. I guess not the case by giving birth. Giving birth is a much more strenuous thing that you couldn't do if it was a treif at all. But to lay the eggs, if it was in the middle of its cycle, it'll lay those eggs, but it could very well die afterwards. So now it has to lay a second cycle afterwards for us to be sure that it is alive. What's that?
This discussion a long time ago.
Maybe.
Another Rambam, we talked about, would the chicken last a year or something that hurt its leg and even lay the egg and said it was okay, but somehow could have killed it?
I don't recall. You have better memory than me. It could be. I'm not going to argue with you. I can't remember everything. Could be. But he's saying you have to have a second laying, as it were. Okay, base. Now, what if you have a suffix trefa? You don't want to bother with this. You don't want to shaft it right now. You'd rather just go sell it to goy right now. Okay, I'm not going to sell it to yid, but let me sell it to goy. Rambam says you can't do that. Halacha base. Also, limkor sveik trefa zula goy b'tov zman zeh. You can't sell any of these sveikas to goy within this 12-month period of time. Why? Because what will the goy turn around and do?
Shami
Ukrainian Israel. He'll sell to a Jew who is unbeknownst that there's a suffix on this animal. Remember, you general rule is you don't got to check. The goy sells, fine steer, no problems with this one. Check him yourself. And he doesn't tell you he just fell off a roof 2 days ago. That's why the Jew sold him for so cheap. Whatever. So we don't do that because we're afraid the goy will sell it around to a Jew.
And by that assumption, then you shouldn't buy it from a non-Jew, period.
No, because
he could have fallen off.
Listen, there's only so much we can do. What we can do, we do. If a Jew happened to have the cow, we tell the Jew not to do it. You're right. I guess there's no. Listen, there could always be Jews who aren't honest also. Right?
No.
You have that too. But we can only do the best that we can. Gimel. Now, here, this is the important Rambam. We assume all animals and birds, the chazaka is that they are healthy because there's a rule of rov, majority. Majority of animals are healthy. And so we go after the rov. And that's when we buy it from a goy. We assume it's part of the rov. You're right, it could be, but in Jewish law...
That was the majority or not.
Well, this is the Rambam. In the year of 1100.
Okay.
Okay, so that's, you gotta, we'll see. We'll see. In terms of what we check, We'll talk about that, we'll see today or tomorrow. We don't have to be concerned, maybe he has one of these trefas. Levika, therefore, kesha yishkatu shchita ksheira. When you shecht a proper shchita, everything seemed normal when you shechted it. Ain't shechel, but you don't have to check anything. Shema yeshva machas mitzvah. You don't have to check. Maybe it has one of these 70 trefas that we listed. El reyam becheskas heter. We assume that they are kosher. We assume they were shechted properly. Unless we know that there was something that happened. Right? Now, even if, let's say, it has a little bit of a suspicious behavior, let's say it's dragging a leg or things like that, still, you know, it could be something minor that's not of a serious concern. But if you see something much more serious, then that's abnormal, like if it fell off or let's say it's discolored or other things like that, then you'd have to check. But if you don't see anything unusual, you just go ahead with it. Unless something happened that would cause us to be concerned, then you have to check only for that thing and not more than that. And let's have an example in Dalit. Ketzad, give an example. Kigon, shenishban hagaf. Let's say a wing of the bird got removed for an accident, whatever. If the wing is removed, shall off of a bird, we have to check the lung, because when the wing gets pulled out, it could have put a hole into the puncture hole in the lung, so we have to check it out. No, if an animal fell off the roof, we have to check maybe the inner organs were crushed. What if the head, the skull got smashed? We have to check the membrane of the brain, maybe there's a hole in there. Let's say a needle or an arrow or a spear or whatever went into an animal and went into the inner cavity. We have to be concerned and check for all the major organs that are over there. You have to check the entire cavity. As I said. Okay, now, from halacha hay until, I believe halacha yud or so, yud aleph, we now are going to deal with the topic of sirchos. This Rambam up to this point is interesting. The Rambam, you know, dealt with everything, and now he left a very serious issue right for the end, even though he's already beginning to summarize, but at least the end, and we'll see what he's talking about. Let us, if you just pass me the thing for a minute, let's look at a couple pictures to make it a little clearer. So those who are listening online, we'll just have to use your imagination. Or you could email me to send you some of the pictures from my tiny scan. Ooh. Here we go. All right, now we got two pictures here. I will enlarge one for you. Can you see that?
That's an adhesion there for the lung.
Right? Now, if you take a look, it says the rea, the lungs of a goat, in situ. I don't know what that means.
In situ.
Whatever.
Because they're in place. They're okay.
Showing multiple sirchos, adhesions between the uma, that's the main part of the fleshy part of the lung, uma, 5%, and between that, the caudal lobe, and the ribs. Now, you see the ribs, they're yellow,
yeah,
and you see the red. Now, what's in between the yellow and the red?
Adhesion.
This adhesion.
Those are adhesions.
You know? So that's not good, because that suggests that there was a hole in the lung, and from the hole developed the adhesion that grew out of it, so the animal can temporarily still live, plugs it up, and then it just moves forward, the adhesion, until it attaches to something.
Can you point where? Right there. Look, put on the screen.
I can't.
Okay, show right there. There it is. Those are all adhesions.
The white, yeah.
Yeah. All the way back. Look all the way back.
All the way. All the way there.
Yeah. All that's. They're not supposed to be attached to the ribcage.
That's not supposed to be. That's a very sick animal.
They're not supposed to be attached at all.
See, that's a really bad animal.
You see, it's sucking a part of the lung there and pulling it out there.
All right, so that's one example. All right, so that's really bad. Now, that's one type of looking adhesion. Now we'll look at another type. Here we've got an adhesion to the upper right is the lung, and the left. Let's see what it says. It says a sircha from the rea to the fat of the heart.
Wow.
Okay, so that stringy thing is also an adhesion. Right? So it says, sirchas are problematic whether they attach one lobe to another or to a nearby structure. A thin sircha. Oh, hold on, hold on. A thin sircha, such as pictured here, is called a rear. By by contemporary authorities, and many say that's nothing. This is way too skinny, but it's not so simple. It's not so simple. Anyways, that's some examples of sirchas. Now we should have
but
some.
How would that piece attached to it? If you didn't have that little string, you wouldn't be able to attach. It wouldn't be able to stay attached.
Well, it's not supposed to be attached.
It shouldn't be attached.
The lung is not supposed to be, a lobe of the lung is not supposed to be attached to the fat of the heart.
It's
not supposed to be connected to the heart at all in that, by the lobes over there.
No.
So therefore, that means it could be there was a hole in the lung and that adhesion just sprung out all the way till it hit the fat of the heart. So there's a discussion. If they're very thin, maybe it's not a problem. Anyway, one more issue over here. Here is the lungs of a deer in situ, right? Now look at that green arrow if you look carefully over there. Now if you look at the very bottom, I hope you'll notice you've got a lobe on the left and a lobe on the right. Do you see that?
Where?
Do you see the lobes? Right here. Here's one lobe.
Yeah.
And here's another lobe.
Right.
Now they're supposed to not be at so this whole area here is you got all circles are connecting. But if their lobes are adjacent to each other, that's okay. Because that could be part of the natural growth of the animal. Right. It says the tips of the two umas, caudal lobes, are attached to each other and to the adjacent wall by a membrane known as the pulmonary ligament. This sircha is not a trefa, for it's part of the normal anatomy. So some are, we'll see, the Rambam will discuss, some are normal and some are not normal, and then there's a concern. I think there's one more picture, or maybe not. Right, so that's 909, so that's all. All right, hopefully that made things a little clearer. And now we continue, and we only have 4% left power on my thing. But you're always there for the backup, okay? Well, we'll see. Okay, so halacha, hey, now we're going to get into the different types of the sirchas, and which will get us into the whole issue of glot kosher. Hey, Lefika, therefore, Rea Shehel Satzmachim. Let's say a lung that had certain growths come out of it. O Shenimtsu Sirchos. Or you have adhesions. Come on, what's an adhesion? It's like Chutin Pluimimena Veladofen. It's like strands that are suspended from the lung, and it goes either to the dofen, the rib cage, ola lave, or connects to the heart, ola tarpesh akove, or to the diaphragm. In any of those cases, we don't say for sure it's treif, but choshishinlo, we're concerned. Shema nikva, maybe there was a hole, and from that hole grew out the sircha. Then, so we gotta check it out, and we'll describe what the checking is shortly. Or if there's a swelling on the lung that's full of moisture. We're concerned that one of the bronchioles underneath got a hole in it. Needs a bedika as well. Okay, now, vav, mina din, according to the law, hoya al derasu, which would go this way. If you find this lungs that is dangling from it, are these adhesions that are like strands? Now, where are they connecting now? If it was from the main mass of the lung and to that dofen, to the rib cage, or to the heart, or to the diaphragm. So what are we supposed to do? What's according to the law? These are dangerous ones because we're afraid it could be a hole. So the law is supposed to be we could check it out. We cut off the adhesion carefully. Then we take the lung out. We put it in lukewarm water and blow and to see if there's any bubbles, just like you check for a flat tire, right? And if then we'll see if there's a hole or not, and that's the inspection that would then render if it's kosher or not. If find a hole because it's bubbling, then it's trefa. Remember, the water doesn't bubble. Arehi shlema, it's complete. Mikol nekev, there's no holes. Well, there's since permitted. This is Rambam said, minatin. This would be the law, the way it should be. V'sirchazu lohaisim kol nekam. So this sirch, although it was an adhesion, but there never really was a hole. It was just a growth happens. It can happen even without a hole. It happens. Yeah. Oshema nikav chroma elish mavod. Maybe only the outer membrane had a hole, which does not render it a treif. And from the hole of the outer membrane came the sircha that came from it, which, as we've already discussed, is kosher. Now that is what should be done according to the law. That's what the law would suggest from the Gemara. But look what the Rambam writes now. But we never saw anybody who paskin this way.
Whoa.
Meaning to say, to check it this way, as will be explained in Halacha Zayin. We don't check it and we assume it's treif. Remember, this is Sfardim. Remember, Rambam's a Sfardi. And it's going to be important psak for Sfardim. Big difference between Sfardim and Ashkenazim here. We don't hear anybody checking these adhesions. And we'll now see in Halacha Zayin what that means. So he says it like this: even though these words are what appear the way I just explained to you from the rabbis in the Gemara, but still, even though I just saw what the Gemara says, but for some reason, minig ha'poshut beYisrael, but the custom that has spread amongst at least the Sephardic Jews, kachu is such: when you shecht an animal, you cut off that diaphragm, you split it. You check the lung right away. If you don't find any sirchas at all, or you find sirchas that are for sure kosher sirchas, certain adhesions are for sure not upon, because that's the natural way of things to happen. Such as, you see there's a sircha from the lobes to the main fleshy part of the lung, shemakom revitzasa, where it's crouching, it's between the meat of the ribs and the meat of the breastbone. Oshenimtsa sircha meosan losan alseder, or you see a sircha from one lobe to another that's adjacent in order, omina om losan svukalo, or from the body of the lung to a lobe that is next to it. Hare elu matirin also. We would say that that's okay, because that's natural and that's not suspicious of any holes being here. And that's fine. We could have all the circus you want in these specific areas. They're very close by and it's not unusual for that to happen. But, but if you see a strand going from the main body of the lung and it's going to other places where it shouldn't be going, even as thin as a hair's breadth, Ostrino, so it's prohibited, and we don't even make an inspection to see if it was kosher or not.
Whoa.
And that's the big point over here. Okay, and similar to halachatas. Or you have a strand going from the lung that's stretching to the heart, or to the diaphragm, or to the protective covering of the heart. Olavarda, remember there was that rose-like lobe,
yeah,
if you recall, to that. Bein shayachut mina om shalaret. Doesn't matter if the strand was going from the main mass of the lung, bein shayachut mina ozen, or if it was from a lobe. But I feel like chut asar, even though it was a hair's breadth, also it's asar, and we'll do no checking at all to check it out if it's okay. Or let's say that rose petaled shaped lung,
lobe,
that lobe that has a casing around it, if it's connected, a strand to the casing, it was attached, it's clinging to the case over it, or there's a chut yotzimen al kiso, or the strand coming from it to the casing, also, so you say it's usher. Or one a strand from a lobe to lobe that are not adjacent to each other. Ocean, I'll say, we say there's usser, and there's no discussion done.
So is this what we're talking about, the Beis Yosef Shechita?
No, that's more than that. We'll see. Beis Yosef Shechita, we'll have to wait a little while on that. We'll have to wait till the end of the parak to discuss Beis Yosef Shechita. Alright? But, this is the Sfardim who will not check any of these questionable sirchas. They just say, drive. Finished. Okay. Trefa. Okay. Well, we'll see. Ashkenazic custom is not that way. Ashkenazic custom is if we see these, if they can be removed and we can check it on, it's okay. So Ramah and Ashkenaz who says it's okay. So that's where you get the word glot. Glot means, it's Yiddish, it means smooth. So if the lung is smooth, it's glot.
No adhesions.
It's glot. We never had to check anything. If you check it and it's still okay, well, the Sephardim wouldn't have checked it. Sephardim would say it's treif right away. The Ashkenazim will say, we'll take it. And that is the non-glot. And according to the Gemara, according to Halach, you know, as the Rambam said, according to Halach, we could check it out and prove it's okay.
So Ashkenazim is a chumra for Sephardim, it isn't.
What?
For Ashkenazim, it's a chumra, the glot?
Well, not saying it's a, it's
some people won't eat. No.
Obviously, you'd rather have something you didn't have to check, because, you know, maybe the guy made a mistake when he checked, or, you know, can you have honest mistake? But, you know, you'd rather not have it, for Sephardim, it's treif. It's like mamish, they won't eat it. Forget it. Ashkenazim will, but of course people become frum, and they want to have the glot meat. Now, again, in theory, glot should cost less. Why? Because you don't have to do anything. If it's not glot, you got to start checking, and that takes time. That's manpower. But it's the loss of supply and demand. And we'll see, less animals are glot than non-glot, so there's less of them available.
CR is only glot now.
Okay. So, but it's
can you buy non-glot?
Not from CR.
In here?
In New York.
I don't know. Hartman's used to have non-glot, but not anymore. Now, but there is lots of non-glot in the world. There has to be. But everyone's being more machmer, but we're running out of animals that are going to be glot. But I'm sure other parts of the world, there's hachsherim that have non-glot. But there's nothing treif about it. It's just one of these chumras. I'm not saying a chumra. It's better. You don't have to check. You know what I'm saying? But it for sure is of a standard of kashrus. Now, the Beis Yosef glot is a little different. Now, those rears that we talked about, there's a whole discussion of these rears, because it's almost unusual to ever find a cow that mamash has nothing. That's clean as a whistle. So you have these very little thin ones that don't connect to something else, but they're like these thin strands that are just dangling. So really, that shouldn't be any problem according to anything we've learned till now. So, because every time it's a problem, it's only when it attaches to something. It's just dangling, it's just a minor thing. But, so there are those who say, no, that is also not allowed, and that's what the Beis Yosef glot is.
Wow.
Because that array is a very small amount, that's not gonna have that. So while we're on the top, I already have the book here, let me just read that point to you. We'll end with this point, so we didn't finish the fair today, but that's fine. First of all, in terms of percentages, very interesting. It's like this. In general, parenthetic, it's important to note that the kosher non-glot meat product available today is generally inferior in all areas of kosher supervision, and its consumption is not necessarily included in the Ramah's leniency. Anyway, in general, the incidence of sirchus is apparently related to the animal's environment and perhaps to the animal's feed, and varies greatly from locale to locale. One expert who's familiar with shechitas done all over the world reports that in the western United States, one may expect to find only 2% of adult bovine without any sirchus at all.
Whoa. So that's 2% is based
in central United States, about 15%.
Okay.
In Honduras, I don't know why, approximately 45%. In Brazil, around 70%.
Wow.
Are glot. While in the cold, brisk environments of Tierra del Fuego.
Where's that? That's right at the tip.
Which is the southernmost tip of South Africa near Cape Horn. It is rare to ever find a sircha at all. Yeah, so go just get shipping costs, right? But anyway, so he says, where did he mention over here? So it should be noted, although it is common practice among religious Jews today to consume only meat that is glot kosher, this meat is not necessarily glot in the classical sense. The fact is that it is uncommon to find a totally clean and smooth glot lung in adult bovine.
Yeah.
Unless the vast majority of beef sold today as glot actually relies on the process of peeling, albeit only for light sirchus to come off easily. In other words, these are the rears. these little rear rim, we said. They're very, very light ones. It's almost, you're not going to find one that doesn't have that even. And that's just that's a minor thing. That's not really a problem, but you still would take it off. Base David quotes Shuvah Shavash Zevach as ruling that such meat may still be considered glot because it really wasn't of a questionable nature. Thus today there are actually three standards of meat. Kosher, which relies on peeling for all sirchos. Glot kosher, only light sirchos are removed, and the standard of supervision is stricter in general, and what is known as Beis Yosef glot, where no sirchos are removed. The last category is so named because it is used by those that follow the rules of Beis Yosef, who does not permit the removal of any sirchos through squeezing and palpitation or peeling anything whatsoever.
So that meat must be very expensive, right?
Yeah, you'll see. You go to, they sell, I think, a lot of these kinds of specialized shritas. You go to Kosher Gourmet.
Yeah.
You know, you can get certain meats with special.
Well, Meat to Go has shritas. The advertising.
So, Chabad is
Oh, that's their own thing, yeah.
No, that's
okay. We're going to stop here. We did 9 halachas. Didn't quite finish it today.